But I think one of in our leaders group, Kelly, I think summed up what a lot of us were feeling this week when she said, "You know, I thought I was a disciple, and then whoa, I read this week's." You know, I mean, I think this week's readings are really, really tough. Just the language that's used and what's asked of us. It's a radical new way of looking at things and kind of shifting our priorities. And basically, it's just a huge call to change. And I don't think change is easy for any of us. You know, there's forced change when you lose a job, or you know, a loved one dies, or even as your kids are growing up, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, there's change that we have to face. And then there's change that we decide whether we're going to do or not. And I think both of those are really difficult in different ways. You know, oftentimes the forced change is uncontrollable. It's out of the blue, and that's kind of scary. But the change where we have to make the decision is extremely difficult, too, because it causes so much inner turmoil. You know you should do something. You know what you want. But it's just getting yourself to do it because you think of, you know, the hardships and the struggles and at what cost. And that's the change that I think Jesus is talking about this week that we need to make if we really want to call ourselves disciples. And I think we're beginning to see at what cost this comes. The reality is setting in. You know, we up to this point, we're thinking, okay, you know, we've been called and we've got our instructions. And, you know, I think I'm doing okay, you know. And then this week comes along and you feel like, whoa, you know, like she said, the reality is setting in. And anytime we're asked to really evaluate our attitudes and how we've looked at life until this point, and maybe make a change, can be really scary. But I think the first step in any kind of real change is a letting go, and that's hard. You know, it's letting go of the way you approach life to this point. It's changing your attitude, and that can be really difficult. And so I wanted to look a little bit at what Jesus is telling us this week, what we have to change. In other words, where we need to start letting go. Right up front, he says, our old life has to go. You know, we have to die to ourselves and take on this new life. That's pretty huge. Another thing he tells us, that area we need to start to let go of, is in that discourse with the apostles about who's the greatest. We have to let go of that need for prestige or status or validation, or, you know, that can't be paramount in our lives anymore. We also need to let go of family and friends. I mean, that hate, no, you know, unless you hate your mother and father or your brother and sister, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Bear with us, it'll make a lot more sense when you read Cindy's notes, because she does a really good job of explaining that word hate, what that really meant back then. But in some respects, we're asked to let go of maybe the pedestal that we put certain people on, so that they never are ahead of God in our lives. We're also, Jesus tells us that we're to kind of change our attitudes and let go of our attitudes towards our possessions. And attachments to our old life. You know, there's that thing about once you have your hand on the plow, don't look back. We're told not to look back, to let go of all the attachments we had and that old life and move on into this new life. We also need to let go of thinking that we can avoid suffering and hardship in our life, because we can't. Those things need to be expected in this life. We're asked, you know, to pick up our cross daily. So these are radical new ways of thinking, but we're being offered the opportunity to let go of the familiar and embrace this very different life than we might know right now. It's not forced on us, but if we're truly to call ourselves disciples, this change is what we need to do. If we want this new life, we have to let go of the old one. And it was interesting how this came to light in my own life in a really powerful way in the last couple weeks, because our youngest daughter Haley is off to college, and I don't know if you know, you remember that being dropped off at college, or maybe for some of you it was going off, you know, from home to a job, or you know, leaving home and moving into an apartment, or going across country, or whatever it was. There was always, you know, a situation in your life that was kind of that growing up thing where you were forced into this new life. For me, it was, I remember it was the first time I was going off to college, and I can still picture it like it was yesterday. My parents dropping me off at UW La Crosse, and in the car, doing the wave, and I turn around, you know, to walk up the stairs to my dorm, and it was just, I still get goosebumps when I think about it, because it's such an eerie feeling of this new life ahead of you, and you're excited, but you're also afraid, you know, and our daughter now is into about, you know, a couple months under her belt of the same experience, and she's realizing that this new life is coming at a cost. It's kind of like the reality is setting in. And she sent me, we've been sending emails back and forth, and one of the things she said, one of the things she's realizing, that we realize too as we enter this new life of discipleship, is that there's sacrifice involved. You know, she said, she misses the daily things at home. You know, she said, I really miss, she said, waking up on Saturday mornings and coming down and seeing you eating your oatmeal at the kitchen table and then sarcastically asking me if I'm hungover. That's my way of, you know, keeping the lines of communication open, you know. Or I miss falling asleep in the yellow chair with Rudy, our dog, across my legs, or coming home to my own cozy bed. You know, she's realizing some of the small sacrifices that this new life is entailing. She's also realizing what's truly involved. She said, you know what, I just miss not having to think about things as much. When I'm here, I always have to plan my day, when I'm going to eat, when I need to start walking to class, when I need to catch up on my reading. She said, I really miss the utter simplicity of my life back home. She's realizing what she's giving up and what's really involved in this new life, this letting go. And so, as you know, the good mom, I'm trying to, you know, be brave, because I'm missing her too. It's a letting go for me too, and I'm trying to explain to her, you know, sweetie, this is just normal. It's good. It's a letting go, and we have to let go of each other and blah, blah, blah. So then she emails me back, and she goes, it made me cry when you talked about letting go, you know. But she said, I feel sad, but she said, it's a weird feeling. I still feel so young, but it's going to take a while, but I'll get used to it. And then this panic set in me. Like, I just told her, you need to have no relationship with me anymore, you know. Like, you need to let go. You need to, you know. And so I quickly emailed her back, and I said, it's not literally that you have to let go. You know, now I'm trying to explain to her, and I think this is what Jesus is trying to explain in this lesson too. It's not literally that we need to hate our mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and let go of everything we know of life. And it's more of an emotional and a spiritual letting go, so that those things aren't so important to us that we put them ahead of everything else. That, you know, we need to cultivate a healthy dependence, an independence from worldly things, and a dependence on God. This is the part that it's hard to explain it, but I think, you know, just like with our relationships, and like I said with Haley, right now, she, in order to feel safe, I think she feels like she needs her family and her world as she knows it is so important to her. And it's not that you take those things away, but you realize that only God can make you safe, and that true happiness and peace and everything you need comes from that relationship with Christ, from that discipleship. And the stuff of the earth, the earthly things, are just icing on the cake. We're not to just ignore them completely, but we're to look at them in relation to our relationship with God comes first, and everything else is given to us by Him, and we are to love it and relish it and be grateful for it, like our families and our possessions. But they aren't to be our life. Christ is to be our life. Discipleship is to be our life. So this is, it's radical, and it's a grown-up, a kind of, we're being called to be spiritual grown-ups. And it's painful, but it's our choice if we want to make this choice. And one other thing I told her was that when she was in about fourth grade, I said, you went through almost the same thing. One day I remember her kind of sad, and all of a sudden she looked at me and she said, I feel like I'm growing up. And I reminded her of that. And I said, you know what? Imagine if you decided not to grow up at that point. Look at everything you've done since fourth grade. And it's kind of like that's where we're at as disciples, too. You kind of sense that feeling like you're being called to a grown-up faith and a grown-up spirituality, but it kind of doesn't feel good all the time, and you can't feel like you can live up to it. But remember what's ahead, you know, what's promised if you can do it. And in order to make that choice, Jesus knew how hard it would be, and that's why I love that saying about no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, he's saying, keep your eyes on the prize. Don't look back. Because you know what happens when if we say to ourselves, okay, I'm going to move into this new life. I'm going to, you know, the old life is gone. The minute we turn back and we look, we're going to be, all we're going to see are the sacrifices that we're making. Our memories might overwhelm us and think, you know, this isn't worth it. How come nobody else is doing this? Why should I be, you know, going through this hardship and sacrificing? And it's going to take us off course. We've all seen when we, you know, teach our kids driver's ed, and you know, they go like this, and you know, I mean, you turn around, and you go off course. And we can't do that in this discipleship walk. It's so important to keep the blinders on and stay focused, because that's the only way that we'll have the courage to go from this old life to this new life. So this week, we've been dropped off at the doors of the kingdom at the University of Discipleship. Oh, I'm spitting. There's a new life that awaits us. Our old life is in the car, a little tear coming down, waving at us as we turn and walk up the stairs, a little scared. We're not sure what's ahead. We know this new life is going to involve change, letting go, sacrifices, and we're real tempted to run down and get back in the car and take off. But we're not sure, because we're not sure we want it, and we're not sure we can do it. But just when that seed of doubt enters into our head, the door opens, and here comes our new RA. And then we know we'll be just fine. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, give us the grace this week to make the changes you ask of us to be your disciple. Help us in some small way to transition to this new life in you, keeping our eyes always on you, the prize. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.